Thank you, Sandra, and thank you, Ron. I mean, you're my theoretical paradigm change mentors as far as how to approach something that we in the field frequently try to treat our way out of, and now we're trying to do something a little bit different. And that's part of the enjoyment of what I've been working with California Mental Health Service Authority for the last several years. I want to thank a few people. Ann Collentine right in front here is our program manager. I want to thank Margaret Walkover for her chair position here with the mental health section. It's really been a pleasure working with both of you. And also a couple of staff that helped put some of the slides together, Teresa Lee and Stephanie Welch. What we're all about right now in California is, if any of you are at the presentation this morning on social determinants, there's a box down in the lower right-hand corner, and it's the base. And the base is, how do you change social norms so that you change health behaviors? And that's part of what I always talk about is a colleague of mine, Stan Glantz, out of UCSF, when he got tired as a cardiologist treating people with smoking-related pulmonary diseases, that he said, why can't we prevent some of this? And 25, 30 years ago, we probably, if we were here in the APHA, that somebody would be smoking in the room. That doesn't exist here, California, and other places, that really the norms have changed about smoking in our society. And then another set of heroes was, I was in San Francisco during the height of the AIDS epidemic, and we had a number of folks there that were working on that and talking about preventing this as well as treating it. And the change that we saw, or we've seen in this country, about a movement, and that's the gay rights movement, and how that and the other social movements, civil rights and women's movement, how those really, I think, are going to impact the mental health movement as well, and that there is a mental health movement. And we like the lime green ribbons that we have in our campaign with Each Mind Matters, but we think that similarly we're going to get as much of that across the country. We have some of those for folks as you leave. We just really think that this is not only a public health issue, it's a public health movement, and it's a population-based approach to trying to change the way we do mental health in our society. I'm going to give you some specific examples of projects that we're working on and give you some of the theoretical background of this. But I really think that Ron has really set the stage, and if you've ever heard and probably listened to Sandro tomorrow afternoon in his presentation, you'll get some of the theoretical and paradigm understandings of where we're coming from. And then I will then turn it over to our two RAND researchers that are here. One of the things we did in California is we decided we were going to evaluate what was going on and take a look at it. And so we have Eunice Wong and Scott Ashworth from RAND talking about some of the impacts and also the return on investment on what's happening with some of the things that we're doing. And I have to say, I don't teach a lot, so my skills are more as a management administrator, advocate, and I stumble when I try to go through the PowerPoint things. It's not my best day on the planet. I think I'm actually there. Risk factors that can influence the onset of mental illness and suicidality. We started from taking a look at the risk factors that include stigma, hopelessness, also looking at risk factors for suicide. We just really think that we needed to frame our strategy, our campaign, and I might say that our campaign is $146 million campaign that we've been doing for the last 4 years, 4 or 5 years. We're now continuing it. We've got reinvestment from counties and the state in California. We want to have this campaign on an annual basis for the next 15, 20 years, as long as it takes to change the social norms in our communities. As you can see from the risk factors, also lethal means. We've not approached the whole issue of means. I was just sitting with somebody at lunch, never met her before, and she asked me what I did, and I said, we work with suicide prevention, and she says her husband shot himself 4 years ago. And she's just getting over that now, but she couldn't really talk about it that much. And I said, well, that's some of what we want to be doing more and more, is having the opportunity for people to talk about suicide and talk about it before it happens as well. And you'll see some of the ways we approach that is part of our campaign. The other thing that we look at as far as in population and public health is that we're not looking just at the education of individuals, but we're also looking at using social media, using policies, and using other ways to assure that the social norms can change in a variety of different strategies. And that's part of where you'll see as we walk through this. We had to really take a good look at what stigma is, and this, again, is part of Margaret's putting together this sessions. There's an excellent presentation by Dr. Corrigan and Dr. Pescalito. I never can pronounce her name quite right.
Tomorrow,
we'll have some. And we looked at stigma and how it's perpetuated by the community. And by looking at this kind of work, we can then start shaping the strategies that we came up with to walk through this and understanding stigma on an individual, community, and public basis. And we also have done surveys regarding who's experiencing stigma and what the discrimination, what the impact of that is. These slides will all be available, so instead of my stumbling through them, you can get a better look at them later on. This slide says a couple of different things. The thing it says to me the most, though, is the difference between the red lines and the blue lines. The red lines are Great Britain. Great Britain started their stigma campaigns and their public approach to mental health promotion 15 years ago. We hope that we can get our blue lines back to their red lines and even further to the left so that we can have the kind of sea change that we'll see where people face discrimination with their friends, their schools, their employer, their social activities. Of course, we all know this, the cascading consequences of untreated mental illness and getting people access to services is very important. Our findings indicate the clear need for stigma and discrimination reduction efforts in the state of California. This is from RAND, independent study, and Eunice might be talking about this and others. So what did we try to do? Okay, our main goals are mental illness prevention and mental health promotion. And the mental health promotion dialogue was very difficult to get started because there wasn't a lot of understanding about what Ron was talking about, and that is promoting healthy behavior. It's always preventing disease. Well, getting to this other side of that, we think, has been very important, and we're getting a lot of traction. We also are getting traction from corporate who are saying, you know, a healthy company is a productive company, a productive company is a profitable company, and that's what we want. And so the bottom line has some impact on this. So what do our programs do? We target policy, we target communities, we target relationships, and we target individuals. And the policies include legislation and best practices. Our communities, a lot of education campaigns, and I'll do a little more detail of some of this in a couple of our counties. And then our training programs for relationships, the doctor-patient relationship in primary care, what is the data? 40% of those over 55 that have attempted suicide saw their doctor in the last 30 days. So we need to really work on those kind of relationships. Targeting individuals and having supportive services so that people that feel in need that they can do some things. And so it's back to, and I was really impressed with somebody yesterday at the introductory was talking about what culture is, and culture is like being in the water, and it's everything around you. Well, fostering a culture of well-being within communities and mental health among individuals is the kind of culture that we're trying to change and create. We have short-term and long-term outcomes. The whole knowledge, attitudes, and behavior is what we can see initially, and we'll see some of that from Eunice's presentation. Help-seeking, early identification, more peer-based support. But our long-term outcomes are clearly to reduce discrimination, stigma, social isolation, student failure. I mean, some of the work that we've done with the schools where they change the culture of the school and the students start to... The students students start coming to school, the teachers come to school because they don't have bad kids in the class. The janitors, the principals, all the parents are all involved in changing the culture, so it's something where young people are recognized and identified and work with, and that their peers are also very much involved in that. So that kind of cultural change is very important. We work with our counties. We have 58 counties in the state of California. It's basically a county-run mental health system, and we work with them to try to do things on an individual level. One of the things we did this last year is because our statewide funding sort of ran out, we went back to the counties and said, do you want to reinvest? And so we went to, and this example from one of our counties, Tulare County, I think it's the next one, where we've started working with things like integrated behavioral health programming, and talked to them about how statewide we've seen so many people, and locally this is what we've been doing with you and your community so that it works closely together with you. And we can talk more about the impacts. Know the signs. We have a campaign about Know the Signs for suicide and trying to help families and in the workplace and other places to make sure that people know the signs and get that the word out, and use social media to do that, a whole variety of social media. Another little campaign initiative we have is a thing called Directing Change, really nice combination of education and in mental health, where we have in high schools and colleges, there are classes that they do on media and producing and directing. They actually create little PSAs. The students create. We then have a competition locally and statewide. The competition then comes up to the state, and we have like a Academy Awards ceremony, and some of the young people, young women dress up in, you know, gowns, etc., and they get awards for doing this. The educators love it because they are doing something and teaching about how to put a PSA and how to put direct and create a script, and the students love it because they learn a lot more about mental illness they didn't know before. We had one of the PSAs, but it doesn't look like it's going to come up on the screen here. So, Each Mind Matters is the green ribbons, the green effort to really get a broad movement campaign approach to what we're doing. And so that's our umbrella that we're going to be continuing with our anti-stigma efforts and trying to assure that as people throughout the state and the country see the green ribbons, that they then understand that mental health is important, mental health awareness and talking and having conversations about emotional well-being is part of what we need to be doing. Just like you talk about a broken leg or diabetes, another physical ailment, you talk about mental health as well. Walk in Our Shoes was another little campaign that we had that we had students, again, empowering them to then create scripts and work and present things in different high schools and different schools in California. Ending the Silence is another campaign where high school students to learn more about mental health through presentations as well. One of the things that, again, back to Stan Glantz and smoking cessation, was that we wanted some folks that are very concerned about disabilities. And so we hired the Disability Rights of California to do some work on the policy level and to do some work on trainings. And some of the things that they've been working on have to do with making sure that parity is actually implemented. That's what I've just talked about. We're finding some barriers to that, finding out about crisis intervention training and getting the word out to law enforcement agencies, and some other work that they've done. Wellness Works, it's back to our campaign to work with businesses to assure that they see the light, and they have. And it's been very supportive on their part for them to work with us. We have a program called ASSIST. You'll hear a little bit more about that by Scott, about applied suicide intervention skills training. He did a return on investment analysis, and I think I'll let him discuss that a little bit further. Cognito training was for our community colleges. We worked with all three levels of our state universities, our University of California's, our CSU system, California State Universities, our community colleges, which have 113 campuses, 1.2 million students, something like that, quite expansive. And this was a program that they liked and that they're working and continue regardless of whether there's... we also worked on our crisis centers. We also had suicide crisis lines, but we didn't really have a network that we put that was together, so we helped them really form that and have some common metrics and have some ability to work more closely to be there on that first level of somebody calling in. So our Each Mind Matters is our ongoing campaign. It's been something that we're going to continue and work with locally and statewide, and it's... an attempt to assure that the social norms about mental health and emotional well-being are changed in the state of California. Thank you.